रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वैद्यसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. सुंदरकांड चैप्टर नंबर 35. मारुति'स अकाउंट्स ऑफ रामा कंटिन्यूड. मारुति एक्सप्लेन्स इम्प्लिसिट एंड एक्सप्लिसिट क्वालिटीज ऑफ रामा. द इम्प्लिसिट क्वालिटीज आर वेरी सीक्रेटिव एंड देयर्स आर मेंट ओनली फॉर सीतास इयर्स. Acharyas have mentioned what those explanations are, and I am going to read it with the explanations as is in my book. And if possible, after listening to this chapter, please offer some fruits or sweets to the deities. The recitation begins now. Sita heard him out. The mighty monkey narrated the deeds of fame of Raghava, and she rendered sweet reply to him. Well, how did it come about, this connection between you and Raghunatha? How do you chance to know about Lakshmana? How in the nature of things could there spring up an acquaintance between a man and a monkey? Please describe once more and in full the distinguishing characteristics of Rama and Lakshmana, their limbs, their forms, their arms, their thighs, and my heart will turn towards you in love and trust. And sorrow will never take possession of me again. Whereat Hanuman set to describe the characteristic features of Sri Rama as far as he knew. O mother with lotus petal-like eyes, you know everything to know about Rama, and yet you have given me the opportunity to talk about him. I am indeed so blessed. Should you feel so that I am the messenger of Rama and put away from you the black doubt that I am the wicked Ravana and command me to tell you what I know about the form and features of my Lord Rama and Lakshmana, I will essay that difficult task as far as I know. I pray you lend a careful ear to it. Perfect beauty adorns the limbs of Rama, yet words fail me to paint the loveliness of his eyes like unto the petals of the blown red lotus. Even as deep eddies in the current of luster, they charm away the hearts of all beings. Why? They fascinate me who am at best no better than a monkey, swinging itself from tree to tree and utterly ignorant of right and wrong. Countless perfections seek a place in his body and mind. They are his birthright. Oh, I bethink that you know them best who thus put me to the test. Even mighty sages that keep strict and stern mastery over the desires of the heart through austerities and meditation, even they set their eyes upon him and stand entranced with joy. Like unto the Lord of day in splendor, patient as the Mother Earth, mighty of intellect even as Brihaspati, the guide and counselor of the gods, of bright fame even as the Lord of the Shining Ones, he casts a shadow over all beings, and in it they rest happy. Those that seek him are strangers to want and grief. He carries out to the utmost the duties of his caste and order of life. His valor is ever laid at the root of those that seek to do him evil. The four orders of society are to him even as himself to watch and protect. He lays down the laws for the guidance of the world and sees that they are duly observed. Of matchless luster he is, the object of worship and reverence of all beings. He is a holy celibate to all intents and purposes. He knows the right time and the moment to do good to the just and the righteous. He knows the truth about the causes of the execution and the results of human endeavors. He is proficient in the royal sciences of Anvikshiki, Trayi, Varta and Dandaniti, the four branches of polity. He pays devout reverence to the holy Brahmanas. He sits at the feet of the great and the wise and learns from them the true teachings of the Shastras. Doubt and misconception about it are strangers to his intellect. and his acts ever keep pace with what he has learned. Humility is a bright jewel in the crown of his excellences. He is an adept in the mysteries of the Yajurveda attached to his clan. He is held in high esteem by those that know the inner truth of the Vedas. But he is one of the highest exponents of the other branches of the Vedas too, and of the military science. Broad-shouldered and deep-chested, his arms are stout, long, and finely shaped. His neck is fashioned on the model of the curves of the conch. His face is lovely beyond comparison and extremely auspicious. The muscles of his chest and arms are large and strong, even as iron bands. His eyes are of red tint, even like the petals of the red lotus. His voice is like the rumbling of a mighty drum. His complexion is fair and dark. His body is well proportioned to his limbs. And he is the ideal warrior and hero. And it is known to all the worlds that he is the possessor of all these perfections and excellences. His chest, wrists, fists, these three are hard. His brows, arms, and scrota are long. The hair's end and the knees are symmetrical and even. His navel, stomach, and chest are a little elevated. His palms, corners of his eyes, his soles, these three are red. The lines on his feet, his hair, and his sign of manhood are smooth. His voice, the strength of body, and his navel are high. His neck and stomach are crossed with three auspicious lines. The breast, the nipples, and the lines on his feet, these three are a little inconspicuous. The veins do not show themselves on his feet. The hair roots have but one specimen of their kind. The organ of manhood is small. The lower portion of his stomach is devoid of any unnecessary flesh. His head is perfectly symmetrical, large and round like an umbrella. Four auspicious lines run along the foot of his thumbs. His body is 4 cubits high. His shoulders, knees, thighs, and cheeks are even. His brows, nostrils, ears, lips, nipples, elbows, wrists, posteriors, these 14 are well proportioned and even. His teeth are smooth, even, and prominent, and have 4 that stand out like fangs. His gait takes after that of the elephant, the lion, the tiger, and the bull. His lips are red and full like the guava fruit and the vaha flower. His cheeks are full and fleshy. His nose is a little high. His hair, his eyes, his teeth, his skin and soles are soft and glossy. The body, the back, hands, feet, fingers, eyes, ears, organ of manhood are long. The face, the mouth, the eyes, the tongue, the lips, the jaws, breasts, nails, hands and feet are of the hue of red lotus. His chest, his head, his face, his neck, his arms, shoulders, navel, his right flank, his back and his voice are broad and mighty. His luster, fame and wealth are ever in the lips of man. A tinge of white runs over his eyes and teeth. His armpits, stomach, breast, nose, shoulders, and face are a little elevated. His hair, mustache, nails, skin, and the hair upon it, his thumbs, his organ of manhood, are fine and subtle, even as his intellect. He knows best how to discharge the functions apportioned to the forenoon, midday, and the afternoon. He knows best how to acquire wealth by lawful and just means and how to distribute it. He knows best the time, place, and manner of doing things. His words fall soft and sweet and pleasant on the ears of all creatures. He is the abode of the goddess of wealth and prosperity. In short, every excellence, every perfection that go to grace the ideal man find a place in him. Lakshmana, born to Sumitra and brought up by Kaushalya, was invincible, the counterpart of Rama in compassion and love and beauty and excellences. The two came upon us during their search for you all over. Sugriva, the ruler of the monkeys, was driven from the kingdom by Bali, his elder brother. In terror of him, he lay hid in the rear of the thickly wooded mountain Rishimukha. We are the adherents of Sugriva, of charming presence and true to his word. Rama and Lakshmana were seeking for him, and they came to where we were in the disguise of hermits but armed like warriors. Sugriva was sore afraid when he saw them and leapt away from the spot in utter confusion. Then he hid himself in another place and sent me to them to know their story. I saluted those great men, adorned with every excellence of body and mind, in the name and by the order of His Majesty, and acquainted myself with their history, while I placed before them humbly our circumstances and objects. Then they were pleased to extend their favor and confidence to me and to my master, and rode on my shoulders to where the ruler of the monkeys was. I related to Sugriva the story of those great men as truly as I could. They exchanged confidences, spoke of their past, grew in affection and trust towards each other, and consoled themselves in a way. Rama sought to bring peace to the troubled heart of Sugriva, who had been driven from his kingdom and all through a woman. Then Lakshmana informed Sugriva of how Ravana spirited you away and how Raghunatha, the blameless one, was eating his heart out, slowly being torn away from your arms. Sugriva lost his beauty and radiance at the news, even like the sun in the full grip of Rahu. The mighty monkeys joyfully placed before Rama the ornaments and clothes that you threw down as Ravana bore you away, but we were not able to get at the place where he hid you. It was I that found the articles before and took them to Sugriva. He preserved them carefully and gave them to Rama when he was beside himself with grief. Raghunatha, bright as the gods themselves, lamented many a way when the memory came to him of how they graced your limbs. They but added fuel to the fire of his life and made it blaze mildly, wan and pale as he was, crying his heart out when he saw them. Raghuvira of boundless fortitude was overcome with grief and faintness, and he held them long in his grip. Then I brought him out of it, consoling him in diverse ways. Rama and Lakshmana went through the collection one by one, described them minutely, grieved sore, and handed them back to Sugriva. Samvartika, the fire of destruction, blazes high on Malivan, one of the peaks on Mount Meru. Even so is Rama consumed by the fire of grief at being torn away from you. Old memories of you came upon him, and in their train followed anxiety, grief, and sleeplessness, making him their helpless victim. Even as the sacrificial fires of Grahapatya, Dakshina, and Ahavaniya burn fiercely in the fire chamber, Agnihotra Shala, sorrow crushes him under its heavy load when he finds that he cannot bless himself with the sight of you, and it shakes him wildly even as huge mountains when they are lashed by terrible earthquakes. He finds it not in lovely forests, cascades and rivers, though he scours them through and through and thus sharpens his affliction. The day draws near when he will lay low in battle dire, Ravana, his sons, his kin and his friends, and will bear you back. Rama and Sugriva made a mutual promise to slay the mighty Vali and find you out. Then they went to Kishkindha, and there Rama killed Vali while he was fighting with his brother and placed the crown on the brows of Sugriva as a lord of the monkey kingdom. You were pleased to ask me, How could there be any relation between the monkeys bereft of reason and Rama and Lakshmana of the line of Ikshvaku and the spiritual disciples of the Maharishi Vasishtha? I have placed before you the incident in all its details. It was given to me, a low monkey leaping from tree to tree, to be able to speak with you, the mother of the universe, born of the Videhas and married into the Raghus. Again, Raghunatha and Sugriva have been brought into intimate relations. Again, I myself, the soul of ignorance and brainlessness, have been deputed to carry out a mission connected with the royal lady of Raghuvira. Though there is Lakshmana, who has sworn that he would perform every service to Rama and has been born as his brother for that very sake, as it were. These might be some examples and evidence. Sugriva was restored to his throne. He sent for his generals and caused them to search for you in all directions, and the monkey warriors, mountaineers in bulk, set out on their quest all over the earth, impelled by the word of Sugriva, and they are still at it. We are one of them. Angada, of boundless might and splendor, led a third of the monkey hosts, as becomes the son of Vali. We lost our way among the defiles of the Vindhyas and suffered much. Then we decided to quit our hold on our bodies, for we had missed the day appointed by His Majesty. We were sure afraid of the terrible fate He has in store for us, and we were barren in our quest for you in the forests and mountains. When he saw that the monkey heroes were determined to die of starvation, Angada was overcome with grief and lamented loudly, recalling your abduction, the death of Jatayu and Vali, and their own ultimate death through enforced fast. When we were thus beset with despair and were about to do away with ourselves through the fear of Sugriva's terrible punishment, Sampadi chanced to come there. He was the elder brother of Jatayu and the monarch of vultures. Old beyond count, mighty beyond description was he. He came there as if to set the seal on our wishes. When he heard of what befell Jatayu, he was beside himself with wrath and cried, "Monkeys, where did my dear brother take leave of this world? Who sent him out of it? Give me the details." Then Angada acquainted him with how Jatayu was killed in a terrible fight with Ravana as he carried you away from Janasthana. Thereat, Sampati, the son of Aruna, grieved sore. It was he that told us of your stay in the harem of Ravana. We were mad with joy at the news and betook ourselves with Angada to the shores of the sea. But our joy, our enthusiasm, and our burning desire to see you, though it made us forget ourselves, were damped and cowed when we thought of how to cross the great ocean, trackless and boundless. Then my heart softened towards them, I relieved them of the load of anxiety, and lightly leapt over the 100 yojanas of waters. I entered the city of Lanka at night, and went through it from end to end, though it was guarded by countless Rakshasas most vigilantly. I came upon Ravana as he was sleeping among his women, and at last I blessed my eyes with the sight of your holy self writhing in the grip of grief. I have replied to you in detail and in truth. Are you now at last convinced that I am not Ravana? I am the messenger of Rama. You can speak to me freely and confidently. I am the son of Vayu. I am the minister of Sugriva. I am sent by Rama and have come here to see you. Raghuvira, the best and bravest of warriors, fares well, and also Lakshmana, who regards Sri Rama as his father and blessed with all noble perfections, is ever absorbed in devoted service to him. And I, ever intent on the welfare of your husband, the great hero, have come here by myself at the command of Sugriva. Eager to learn the place where you abode, I sought all through the south and have come here. By the way, I may tell you that I can take any form at will. I can carry the happy news of my meeting you here through the grace of God to my friends whose hearts are sore and heavy through the barrenness of their quest. It is not for nothing that I leapt over the seas. I have crowned myself with the fame of having discovered your whereabouts. Raghava, the prince of heroes, will, in no time, rid the earth of Ravana, his sons, his friends, and his kin, and he will be with you, mother. Perhaps you may wonder how a monkey, as I am, can be born to the Lord Vayu. Kesari, the mighty monkey, had his abode on the Mount Malivan. One day he was requested by the rishis that were practicing tapas on the seashore to rid them of Shamsadana, the asura, who afflicted them sorely. He made short work of him, the wretch, on the Mount Gokarna. Then it so chanced that his wife Anjana roamed about the mountain slopes in the guise of a mortal. She was an apsara born through the curse of the gods as the daughter of Punjara, the monkey. Punjikastala is her name among the gods. The lord of air was fascinated by her charms and clasped her to his heart. Black wrath and fury surged in her heart when she felt that a stain had been thrown at her wifely purity, and she started to curse him most dreadfully. Nay, nay, my love, do not give way to senseless anger. I seek not to wreck you. I would even bring into the world a boy my equal in strength, valor, intellect, speed, and fame. Your spotless chastity shall not suffer in the least. This will bring about the highest welfare of the countless worlds, said he, and vanished from view. So I was born to the Lord Vayu through the wife of Kesari. I am known as Hanuman too, through an incident that took place at that time. I desire to inspire you with confidence in myself and describe the perfection of my Lord Raghava to the best of my ability. He will be here very soon and lead you away from this hell. Sita was worn with grief till then, but the above reasons and descriptions and tokens made her to place confidence in Maruti, and she decided that he was an emissary of Rama. Her joy was boundless and welled over from her eyes, and her face with its lovely eyes shone afresh even like the moon freed from the grip of Rahu. She concluded most clearly unto herself that he was the monkey Hanuman and none other. Then Anjaneya turned to Sita, whose face bloomed with joy, and said, Mother, I have placed before you everything that I know. Cast away grief and anxiety behind you. I am here to carry out your highest commands. I shall go back, since I am most anxious to acquaint Raghava as soon as I can with the news of your safety and well-being. Let no thought cross your heart. What help can I hope for at the hand of this puny creature? I tell you, I am born to the wife of Kesari, the mighty monkey, when he was away to deal death to Shamsadan, the Rakshasa. I deem myself equal to my father, the Lord Vayu, in strength, valor, and speed. Mangalam Koshalendraya Mahaniya Gunate Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.